the idea of the shiur is that everyone enters into Pesach, sits at the Seder, and everyone has different kinds of starim which they experience. But it's important to prepare ourselves beforehand in order so we understand what's the goal of the Seder. The goal is not just to get through the Haggadah, the Yetzir Mitzvahs, and go to sleep. The goal is to actually walk away gaining something from the Haggadah. And often what you gain is really based on the preparation beforehand, understanding what's the goals, what's the thoughts, what's the message that God's getting across to you. So I think we're going to probably have to do two or three different shiurim, but tonight we'll try to start with the Hagdamas, the Haggadah, go through a little bit of the beginning parts of the Haggadah, but so next time we'll go through later parts of the Haggadah. First realize that the Haggadah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I understand that there are two different goals in the Haggadah. One goal is, as we state in the Haggadah itself, we say, it's to see yourself as a view of Mitzrayim. That's a very difficult task, to truly feel like you walked out of Mitzrayim yourself. You know, we're here in America, we've never stepped foot in Mitzrayim before, we don't know what it's like to be slaves. But the nekuda we're supposed to be able to tap into, mitzvah that, is to bring ourselves to a deep hakaras hatov, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, these bars to where we are, b'zman hazeh. It's very hard to actually feel that you were actually building pyramids in Mitzrayim, that you actually are whipped by a slave driver, you experience makos, and you experience kriyas yam suf. That's very hard to get to. But to be able to feel a feeling of hakaras hatov, that there is an avdus, there is a chiras. I was somebody who had a lot of difficulties, I've been released. As somebody who's Ovid Vadazara, and I'm Ovid Kosh Baruch Hu. To come to a deep, true Ha'udah, that's one of the goals of the Seder. And the idea of Liros is Atzmo, that Nakuda is that the more you feel part of it, the more you feel it means something to you, the more you feel Kars Tov to Kosh Baruch Hu for bringing you out of the situation. That's number one. The Iker part of the Haggadah of telling over the Sipur, as he's Mitzrayim, is based on Psukim we find by Bikurim. As you get later on the Haggadah, let's talk about more, I think, next time. But later on, the God Aram Elvi inviter from there on out. So we darshan the Psukim telling the story of Mitzrayim, and not Psukim say for Shmos, Psukim from Parshas Kisavo in Hodas Bikurim. So many of Mefarshim asked the Kasha, why are we basing our Haggadah on Parshas Kisavo, not on Sefer Shmos? But the teretz given by many, which I think is a very, very easy teretz, is that the whole goal of the Haggadah is to come to Karas HaTov, to Kosh Baruch Hu, for taking on Mitzrayim. The Hodas Bikurim, which we based it on, is supposed to be the expression of Hakaras HaTov. Hodas Bikurim is a person has gotten to their harvest, they've harmed their first fruits in Eretz Yisrael. They go to the Semikdash, and they tell Hashem the entire story. I used to come from Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I was brought down to Mitzrayim. I was tortured, I suffered, you freed me, brought me to Eretz Yisrael, and now I have a zeichet to have the first fruits of my land. It's a whole statement of Hakaras HaTov. So the whole God is based on a mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov, and the goal is to reach the Hodas Hakaras HaTov to Kosh Baruch Hu for bringing us out of the situation we were in. We have to keep in mind that Mitzrayim is a model. Mitzrayim was, we were in Mitzrayim, we were avadim, and then we were freed, but it's also a model for all other difficulties we go through. Mitzrayim is a lashon of mitzar, of limitations, of distress. In mitzar kras ikah, Mitzrayim, everybody has their own mitzarim they've been through. Everyone can feel their own life, their own difficulties and struggles. Everybody has been freed from those mitzvahs to some degree. Other, you know, we're still involved in difficulties that some of us have. Some of us have freed from those. Some of us have freed from some or working on others. But Kosh Baruch Hu is constantly the goal of Yisrael. His goal, us in present tense, we say in the Baruch Hu, is constantly taking us out of Mitzrayim. And everyone has their own mitzvahs that they're working towards. So at the Seder, you're thinking of the actual Mitzrayim, the actual Atlas. You're also thinking through your life. Where have I been in some way enslaved? Some way distressed, some way been through difficulties, physically, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it was, and how Kosh Baruch Hu freed me. And you come to the deep Hakaras HaTov, the Kosh Baruch Hu always takes us out of those situations. So that's the goal number one, I think, of the Haggadah.
Wait, the Hodas Bikurim is number two?
No, this is all goal number one. It's all the idea of seeing yourself as if you're Mitzrayim, meaning coming to a deep sense of Hakaras HaTov, that Kosh Baruch Hu has taken me from difficult situations to freedom, namely from Mitzrayim to Chirus, but also from our own personal difficulties to freedom. Now that's a goal number one in my mind. Goal number two is what Rishonim bring out. You don't see it as Mefurish in the text of the Haggadah, but we'll talk about how it is there. Rishonim bring out the idea that Lil Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lil Seder, is the time to absorb the Yesodos of Emunah into a Yid. The Ramban writes, a very famous Ramban in Parshas.
This is number two? Or?
This is number two. This is all Parshas number two, right? The Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo. It's a very famous Ramban. If you've never been through it before, you got to go through it. in the Parshas Bo, he says, I'm going to explain to you the tam of many, many mitzvahs. And he goes through the kasha. We have so many mitzvahs, so there's Zechus is Mitzrayim. If you open up your Tariq mitzvahs, you can probably count, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 mitzvahs that are somehow connected with his Mitzrayim. You know, obviously Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Kish and Shabbos, Zechus is Mitzrayim. We have it in our Tefillin, Pidgin Aben, Pidgin Petr Chomer, Bechoros. I mean, you can go on and on. All so many mitzvahs somehow revolve around the Mitzrayim. So Ramban says, what's the pshat? So we'll do this b'kitzer right now. But the Ramban says b'kitzer, he says that Kosh Baruch Hu, one time in history, revealed himself to the world in a full gilui. This time was the time where Kosh Baruch Hu was going to megala himself fullest sense.
Not like the Torah?
Well, that's all on Hemshech. I mean, those events, it's the time of the Torah, were one big event. You know, that's just how Omer connects it all together. And that was the gilui of history. And this is how we understand who Kosh Baruch Hu is, what he does. He's the Borei, the Mekayim, the Mashkiach. He runs the world, he sees what happens, he cares, he overturns nature, he's all-powerful, he rewards people who do right things, and he gives attention to those who do the wrong things, etc., etc. He has a Ratzon for this world, he has Tachlos for the world. That was all in this Galo during the time of Sitzrayim Matan Torah. So there's a one-time history, Gilui B'Kosh Baruch Hu, and after that, the job is we perpetuate that Gilui. So we have to constantly focus on it. We're in a way obsessed with Mitzrayim as Jews. But the reason is because that is the gili of all history of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we talk about it every single day. Mitzvah Yom V'Layla, let's remember it. We have it in our tefillin. We think about it on Shabbos. And we think about it on Yom Tif. And so on and so forth. That's all so we can constantly make sure that we perpetuate that gili and make sure it becomes part of ourselves and part of the psyche of the world, which it has been throughout all of history. But this all began on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This Mitzrayim was when it all came to fruition, the night where we left Mitzrayim and the Leil HaSeder. So that's a night which is particularly set aside to absorb Yisodos Emunah. Svarim bring down that there's a segula in the air that a person absorbs Emunah on the night of the Seder. That even the same concept you may hear the rest of the year, but on the night of the Seder, you absorb Emunah in a different way. It's a different type of absorption. You take in the Emunah. The Zohar calls matzah the lachma dehem nusa, it's the bread of Amunah. And it's a night which is totally about Amunah. And the pasuk says in the beginning of, I think it's Va'era, Laman tesaper ba'ozne bincha. What's the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because Laman tesaper ba'ozne bincha, then bincha asher yisalti Mitzrayim. I want you to tell over to your children and your grandchildren all you did in Mitzrayim. All the usos, all the signs I did there, v'yadatem kini Hashem, and the tachlis of it is, you shall know I am Hashem, meaning you shall be yediya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of his Mitzrayim, we should walk away with the yediya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So beyond just the hakaras hatov in the hodah, which we're supposed to come through in the chayvan mirus atzmo, we're supposed to come to a deeper understanding of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understand the yesodos which were there in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the hashkacha, the nisim, the schar, the onish, everything we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all came from those events. And afterwards, you know, it's all leaking back to those events. So our goal in the Seder night is to tap into Emunah. So this is, in one sense, something which is, I think, ignored in many Starim, but it's the Iker in many ways. Many Starim focus on the actual story, and some people hopefully try to at least relate to the event in some way. But to bring up the Yesodos of Emunah, you find it's a Shrayim, it's just Emunah in the Haggadah. That's something which is not done, I think, quite as often, but I think is... V'yadatu kini Hashem is the Yesod. What?
Where?
Well, I'll try to talk about that. That's part of my goal.
Goal number two is?
Goal number two is to absorb Yesodos of Emunah that you find in Mitzrayim. That's goal number two. The Haggadah is not just to recite the words in the Haggadah. It's not just like, you know, you're davening and you read through words and you're yotzei. That's not the goal. But use the Haggadah as an outline, as a springboard, as a platform for discussion and for understanding. It's a guide to bring out these deeper inyanim. I'd say that the Seder should be not just a mitzvah yiritzeh, but it should be a transformational experience. You should feel like you've changed if you've done the Seder properly, because you've taken in these asodas of Emunah. You've felt the karstav, you felt a much deeper connection to Kosh Baruch Hu through the Seder. I'm going to share with you a bunch of different, I guess, mavortlach, which I think mostly I'm going to focus on yasodas of Emunah you can find throughout the Haggadah. That's one of the things I want to focus on. I'll start with I've been into the Chasm Sefer a lot this year, so a lot of Chasm Sefer reports I'll be sharing tonight, but some other things as well. But it's interesting from the Chasm Sefer. He says that, I mean, Rishon asked the Kasha. In Halacha, they asked the Kasha, why is it that there's no Berachas HaMitzvah on the Seder? Sipras Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We should say Asher Kishom Mitzvot Sivanu. You know, Al Sipras Mitzrayim, Al Sipras Mitzrayim. You can damn which blushing to use, but there's no bracha we make on it. It's most of shot. So many Rishonim say that there is a bracha. The bracha you make at the end of the Seder, Asher Gealanu, V'Galos Mitzrayim, that's the bracha on the mitzvah. So the Chacham says it's very shver. We know there's a klal that bracha usually has to be said over Al Siyasin, before the mitzvah.
What's the mitzvah that people say this?
The bracha Asher Gealanu. Asher Gealanu.
The third cup?
And then the Magid.
On the third cup?
That's the second cup. Second cup and the Magid. But after the mitzvah. That's when the mitzvah's done.
Right.
So the kasha is, well, brachas are over lasayasin. That's not, you usually think the bracha prior to the mitzvah. So why taka here would the bracha be afterwards, according to those Rishonim? So the Chasam Sefer says that, what's the pshat? He says, the Gemara tells us, if you maskal b'mos m'sayim b'shvach, there's a din in the Haggadah, that you're supposed to start with the shame and the negatives of Klal Yisrael. The Mechilas Machlikis, if it has to do with the weird Mechil Divad Zorah, or if it was with the Shiva Mitzrayim, we say both of them. And you end with the Shvach, you end with the Chiris, you end with the fact that there were Avadim Takash Baruch Hu, you end with the high points of Klal Yisrael. So since the Seder is supposed to be something that you not just say, but you live through, he says before the Seder, your Taka is supposed to view yourself as if you're so far from Kosh Baruch Hu, you're as if you're a Goy. And a Goy who goes to the Mikvah and is Toivel to become a Ger, so before he's Toivel, he's not ready to make the Bracha, he's still a Goy. Well, he only makes the Bracha after he's Toivel, because at that point he's a Yid, he can make the Bracha. Chacham Sefer says, that's good for how we should build the Seder. Before the Seder, before we say the Haggadah, we haven't been transformed yet. We haven't gone through the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're not quite Yidden at that point. You know, we start off of Devod Azara, we start off as a Vadim, and you're mamish living through the Haggadah every step of the way. And then the Gada, you finally come out, Kilu, you've gone through the Mikvah, you've become a Ger, you've come out as a different person. You've been set free by Kodesh Baruch Hu, you've been more close to Him. And only at that point are you ready to make a Bracha. That's what he says. So, it's interesting, halacha dikakasha, but the word he's saying is a powerful word in terms of the Seder. The Seder is such an experience. You're supposed to live through it. You're supposed to feel that you're so far from Hashem. You've come so close throughout the night of the Seder that it's taka like you were not ready to make a bracha before. You're like a goy. And only after the Seder did you become a yid. That's how we should view it. That's when you became the Amanifkar, the Seder night, because Baruch Hu chose us to be His people. That's what it's all about. So it's you transform yourself throughout the Seder. That's the Nakuda. Now, we're supposed to use this as the Seder, the Haggadah is supposed to be our guide. It was supposed to bring us to a lot more thoughts, deeper thoughts, you know, discussions. Obviously, keep in mind, you know, the length in terms of what you're used to, who's there, your parents, your guests, etc. But it's supposed to be a time to really discuss and to understand. I'll show you another word from Chasam Sefer, interesting word. This one, you know, when I first read it, I actually laughed. I hate to say such a thing, but it's cute, but there's also deeper said in this as well. He says this on the Ben Rasha. Right? Ben Rasha says, Ma'avod Ezos Lechem. He says, what's the kasha Ben Rasha? So the Chasam Sefer says that there's a halacha by Eved Ivri. You can't work him Avodas Parech. So one of the things you can't do to him, you can't tell him, okay, go dig over there by that tree until I come back. Why? Because you didn't put a time limit on it. He said, okay, dig and I'll come back. So he's been digging forever and he's waiting for you to come back. He doesn't know when it's going to be. So it's a torture. Because he doesn't know when he has to stop digging.
Remember that for kids?
You
don't say clean up until I get back.
Oh, yeah. Give them the time limit. That's the lacha.
On the previous shot, how can we make Hagafen?
How can we make Hagafen? Well, because you're still being a... It's a conceptual thing. You're still in the henna, you know? I hear. You're still in the henna from the Geffen. You are a yid at that point. You can't be docha mitzvah. Please be kaveh the bracha. If you're kaveh the bracha mitzvah afterwards, that's the point of it.
How are we
out of Dom Barnes? Yeah. After the kiddush, you ask all the gosh. How are you doing to the mitzvah of the chlal?
It wears off right before the bracha.
The next Seder.
Right. You start again the next Seder. Right here. I don't know if he meant it al pi halacha. He was obviously al pi machshava, but it's the nekudah is there. But he says like this. He says that you can't tell an Eved Ivri to go dig under the tree until I come back. Because it's a torture. That's all it is parach. You have to tell him. You can say dig there for an hour. You can tell him dig there for 2 hours. But as long as he knows the time limit, that's not called avodas parach. Now he says that, what's the pshat? Kosh Baruch Hu to us, he says, okay, I want you to do Avodas Hashem, and when you get schar, Alos Lavo. When's that? Not telling you. Alright? Whenever Alos Lavo is, you'll get your schar. We don't know anything about Alos, we don't know our schar, we don't know what Lavo is, but Kosh Baruch Hu is kibbutz telling us, like, we're not supposed to tell an Eved Ivri. So he says, that's the pshat, that we cannot tell the Eved Ivri to work in that manner, that's reserved for Avodas Hashem. When you serve a Kosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Baruch Hu tells us, you do Avodas Hashem, I'm not telling you when you're going to get your schar. Eventually you'll get it. Don't worry. But you keep on doing your avoda. That's what's referred to as Hashem. Now, what's the pshat? Because we live on Amunah, and part of Amunah is the Indian of being patient. But you know, we don't know what it's going to be. And we have Sapiel Amunah constantly. So he says that part of the training in Avodas Hashem is to be able to be patient and wait and know that you keep on doing your thing. You keep on davening, you keep on doing mitzvahs, you keep on learning Torah, and eventually you get to the schar.
So this is Avodas Parach?
So this is a Kilo Avodas Parach, you know, in some way. Right? But that's what Amunah is, that you don't, that's part of Amunah. Amunah is that you're not going to, you don't know what's going to happen until the end. So he says that what's the, this is what I laughed at. He says it's a Gemara. It's a Chazal. It's a Gemara. It's a Chazal. It's not what the Chazal was. It's a Chazal. Yeah.
Oh, why would, if we're not supposed to do this to Nevedivri, so why is God doing it to us?
He's saying that we don't do it to Nevedivri because that's something reserved for Kosh Baruch Hu to us. That's what he says. That we don't do Nevedivri because it's reserved for Avodas Hashem only. Yeah, it's Amunah. It's right, working with Amunah. But only, I'm just going to work on Amunah. I'm going to do this until my master comes and frees me.
Don't we say somewhere that God, like Hashem also like keeps the Torah, whatever that means. But like, and if that's true, then it shouldn't be the case. Like, why is he doing this to us? If he,
Hukasha, I don't know. Hukasha, I'm not sure. But
we're not Eved Ivri.
Well, Tokash Baruch Hu, we are.
Yeah. We're Eved.
Hello,
Eved Hashem, not Eved Ivri.
Eved Ivri. Well, Eved Ivri means you're a Jewish Eved. You know, I don't know.
So it's not like Hashem's not obeying himself.
I don't know. Hear the aura. I'm not sure, but the. But he says like this. He says that the Chazal tell us that, what's the Lashon? Originally the Lashon. Chazal tell us that b'shah shechacham yoshev adarish, when the Rav is giving a drasha, Ram shomim, and the nation is listening, Kosh Baruch Hu meichel himself. Kosh Baruch Hu is meichel the Ravonos. He says, what's the pshat? The Rav darshins, everyone listens, and they mechil savonos. Right? What? You know the pshat?
No, but it just clicked.
It just clicked. He says like this. He says that many people out there are Amaratzim, and they don't understand the Rav's drasha. You know, he goes Shabbos HaGadol drasha in many communities, so the Rav gives us a long pilpul and halacha, and at the end, he gives a little different musar. Right? So the Am sits there, and they're trying to act, you know, politely and patiently as the Rav goes through his pilpul and lam, this is what they don't understand, as he says. All waiting just for that moment, the Rav will give him a little musar at the end, some divri agada. That's what he says. Because the people sitting there are practicing their tzapia liYeshua. That's what he says. They're sitting there and they're practicing, waiting for Yeshua, and doing it with patience. This Chassam Sefer says this. They're doing it with patience.
Chassam
Sefer says it. He was the Gadol Ador. He was a Rav. He was a Rav.
They were practicing for the loss of Lavo.
They were being the Sragul loss of Lavo. And he says that, and they get their different God at the end, that's Kiwa, and they get their Schar. But the reason they're Meichel is because since they're training themselves in Amunah, and Amunah is the site of our lives, any training in Amunah brings to Mechil Savonos. That's what he says. He says, you're sitting at the Seder, and you start off, you've got Deish, Orchat, Karpas, Yachat, you have so much to get through to get to your Suda. That's what he says. And then Rasha comes in and says, Mavaz is Lachem, it's Mustab Shah, and then Rasha's Kasha. He says, why do we do so many things? I just want to eat. Why do I have to go through all of these steps? I'm not going to eat for another 3.5 hours? Like, what's going on here?
Are you talking to Rasha?
Right? I'm not putting labels on any evaluator. Nowhere. But
you want to labor yourself, that's one.
That's his kasha.
So how is that, like, he's saying, like, why do I not have to eat for 3.5 hours?
Well, yeah, why do I have to go through all this avoda? Why can't I just eat?
Ma avoda hazel lachem means...
Why do I have to go through all these steps to get to my meal? What's this avoda for you? Why do you have to go through this all?
I mean, the other...
Because you haki hashin over then. You blunt his teeth and say, forget about your meal. This, you know, this is about a moon. Right? But what does he say? So Chas Sefer says, the Rasha tells you, ma avoda hazel lachem. Russia says, why are you sitting through this whole Seder? You know, let's get ourselves to the meal. So Chas Sefer says that going through the steps of the Seder is in some way also a training for us. We're mitzapeh on the Shulchan, and we're waiting for our schar, waiting for the Suda. The Russia is no shaykhus. The Russia doesn't have a Muna. He's no shaykhus to the idea of waiting patiently for something. He has no shaykhus to a Muna. So he's saying, I can't stay here anymore. It's too much. I was getting my meal already. Why are you going through so much at the Seder? And the answer to him, we tell him, is that, you know, this is, you are in Mitzrayim, you wouldn't be niggle, because why Mitzrayim was all about the tzapia for Yeshua. Klai Yisrael was there, Abadim, right, for many, many years. 210 years there of their Mitzrayim, waiting for Gula. They didn't know exactly when it was going to come. And the Schos the Amuna, you know, they're waiting and they're niggle. So the Rashi said, if you were there in Mitzrayim, you wouldn't have been niggle. Now, what we tell the Chacham, he says, how can we tell him that you got your Avikum ben Chatzos? Because it shouldn't go too long. You know, you have to get to your scar at some point. It shouldn't go too long in the Seder. But the Chassifer sees that part of the, the Chassifer has very unique perspectives at times, I've discovered over my time with the Chassifer. But he's saying, and the unique word over here is saying that sitting at the Seder, going through all the simanim of the Seder, it's actually a training. It's a Peel Yeshua. And the end of the Seder, as we'll talk about, is actually supposed to be a remiss to the final Schar Olam Haba. So the whole Seder, you're going through Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, you're trying to get yourself all the way to the meal. But he says, that's the Vort, that Sarim Masa Yechia, it's all how we train ourselves in Emunah, it's the idea of being Mitzata until we get to that point. Okay, so that's my Hakdama. Now let's start with go through some ideas of the Seder itself. So you begin with Kadesh, right? Kadesh. So Kaddish is Kiddush, you know what I mean, Kiddush. So how often do we think about Kiddush? Unfortunately, we never think about Kiddush. But Kiddush is, we're talking about Kosh Baruch Hu's, the one is Mekaddish HaShabbos, or Mekaddish Trov HaZmanim. Kosh Baruch Hu is Mekaddish LeYom. Right, so it's a good time to explain it, almost the Kedusha Sayom, of Leil Seder, Kedusha Salayla. So I'll share with you a couple of these Nekudos about the Kedusha of Leil Seder. Leil Seder in the Sfarim is looked at as, you know, in certain ways, the holiest night of the year. We call Lil Shemur Hashem. Tonight, where Kosh Baruch Hu guards us from Azikin and from all evil. Kosh Baruch Hu took some Mitzrayim as his people. It's a very high, a very uplifting, elevated night. The Mishnah Berurah writes, he brings down the Siman Tav Samech Ches, I believe. He says, he brings from the Baal Tanya, actually, it's interesting. He brings from the Baal Tanya that when it comes to Yom Pesach, you should not have anything done by Goyim. It should all be done through Yidin. Because the Kedusha of Pesach is that, but you shouldn't have going and touching your stuff. This is about Kal Yisrael becoming the Am HaNivchar, and it should be all the tirchas. So somebody who has a non-Jewish housekeeper in their house or something, they should never set the table. You know, this should be done by Yidin. It's brought down Dafka, even saying the table is considered. It should be done by Jews. Cleaning. I say this Kol Yom Pesach, he says. Kol Yom Pesach is the Lashon. You know, certainly making the matzahs, but Chor clean. I don't know. I mean, I'm not paskening on it. You can ask the Shailas. But the Lashon is Kol Yom Pesach should be done through Yisrael.
But it's the Baal Tanya, so
but it's brother Shabura. So you can't write it off as a Hasidic Sheminog, you know, the Shabura brings
no,
it.
No, it's Lubavitch.
It's Lubavitch. But the Shabura brings
no,
it.
No, he brings it for them.
He brings it for
them. That's not
for them. And as the Kuder brought down, this is not Mishabura, but the Kuder brought down another Svarim, that I say setting the table itself is considered a very big deal, and they set the table, you know, with Kedusha. There's a famous Minig brought by the it's brought by the Ramah, I believe. The Maril, he says you should bring. The Seder is supposed to be, you're supposed to be acting as Bnei Chorin, as nobility. So just set the table in a very fancy manner. So Maril used to be a big money lender. He had a lot of mashkonos of goyim in his house. So, and he had some fancy mashkonos, he had some fancy kelim and things like that. So he used to bring a man of Pesach on the Seder table. Which is interesting because Chorin, they were chametzik and treif. They bring it out on the Seder table.
Are you allowed to use the
mashon
that way?
So, we have this Akash. So, if you look at the mashon that Shabura brings, he says he would just kind of bring them out, just to, like, look at them, to like make the table fancy. So, of course, that's not a problem. The Magen Avraham says he actually used them, which is a pella on many levels. Because, again, they were chamizdik, they were treif, and of course, gazela. Because there's mashkonos, so you weren't supposed to use them. So, Magen Avraham writes, well, it's not gazela, because once a year, so the goyim are going to be makbid on it. You only use them once a year. It's not makbid on one time usage. It's a big chiddush. That's what he says. Mashkonos of Goyim. He used to be a money lender, and he had a lot of mashkonos from Goyim. And he would use it as the collateral. No, but the Magen Avraham's lashon is he actually like was mishtamish with them. Wasn't this better mouth? He would eat from them. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. The Shabura's mashon we can only look at them, but the Magen Avraham's lashon is that he would. I can't maybe the kasher them, and there's a lot of kashers you can ask. I don't know. Maril. Using what?
Meaning,
everything should be done by Yisrael. Well, I wasn't asked that, but he asked that too, I guess. I think the answer might be the same. Hold on, here's the answer, Chasam Sofer says. So he says that, okay, so Al Halacha in terms of Gazela, so Magen Avraham says there's a heter, that, you know, you're doing it one time, which is not makbid. Which is a Kiddush, but the Magen Avraham gives a heter for it. But Chasam Sofer says that, so a Keli of a Goy that you borrow doesn't need to be less Kelim, it's not a din. But he says that, Chasam Sofer says, it's mashbia tum upon a person. Even though you have no chiv tevila on that kelim, he wasn't tevila the kelim, but it's mashbia tum on a person. And it can affect the person in a negative ways. I heard a vort, I think it's a Kutzker vort, they say that Yaakov Avinu L'chura said a sheker. Why did he say a sheker? Because it says he was wearing Esav's clothing. So Esav's clothing is mashpia upon a person, you can say a sheker. I think that's a kutzker vor. Yaakov was able to say a sheker because he was in Esav's clothing. You know, that's the, when he says, it's only because he's wearing Esav's clothing, you can say a sheker. And if you're wearing clothing of an Esav, then you, it's mashpia upon you as well. Chassidish vor. But the Chassid Sefer says, Chassid was not necessarily Chassidish, he was Hungarian. You know, Chassid Sefer says that, so even though Mitzad Adin, you can say it wasn't Gazela, he was the Mashkonos. And you can say that there's no chiv tevilo because he was borrowing it from the goy. He didn't actually buy it from the goy. But yeah, we know that kelim of goyim must be very negatively upon a person. That's what he says. So on Seder night, this holy, this the little Seder, the little Shimurim of Kedusha, the Dafka bring out those kelim and use them in the Seder? I mean, what's the pshat? And again, let's assume he kashered them. I mean, Lachori kashered them. I mean, he's not going to use a chumistic trefakli in his Seder. So Lachori kashered them. Mechav Sefer says that Adarabba, this is the Kedusha of Leila Seder, is so powerful. And the Kedusha of saying over the Niflo Sabore and the Sibur Yisrayim is so powerful that that is going to wipe out and protect us from any Tumah around us.
So you're eating like a ham sandwich,
yeah. Like, we didn't say Surah, we said Tumah, we didn't say Surah. They didn't say Surah, man. I'm not passing Malachi either, but he's saying, because the Kosh Baruch Hu comes to Pesach night. And it's such a powerful night. Because Baruch Hu took us, Adarabba, you know, we were Tumah. The Rambam's lashon is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam's lashon is that we kimat cut to Ikara Shashasso. Avram Avinu was the one who was mashrish Klal Yisrael. He was the one who planted within us Semuna, and we were Mitzrayim. We almost lost it all. That's the Rambam's lashon. Kimat cut. It was almost we were hanging on by a thread. We were so far from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We were Avodah Zarah ourselves. And on that night, Hakadosh Baruch Hu swooped us up. Zudalga Harim, and he made us into Yidden. He chose us Am Nivchar. The Kedusha night is so powerful that it's like a Tumah of the Yid can be transformed into Kedusha that night. So the Tumah of the Kedusha also is not going to affect you that night. But it's just to recognize the Kedusha of the night of the Seder. And the Lashon is of the Chasm Sefer. It says, Migodol Hislavas HaSipor, because of the Hislavas of Rosh Yisrayim, Lo Yishtol Banu Koch HaTumah, no Tumah can rule upon us, Alpi Shelo Niplu. Even without Tevilas Kelim, no Tumah can affect us in that night. That's why it's Lo Shimurim HaShem. We don't lock the doors if you're in an area which is not like overly dangerous. We don't say the full Krishma Mita because we're protected on Seder night. The Kedusha of Seder night is something which is so high and so elevated. They're protected from all sources of Tumah and all sorts of dangers. That's just kind of a perspective on the Kedusha piece of night. So you say Kadesh, Makadesh Yisrael Hazmanim, the Kedusha Salayla of Seder night is incredible. Okay, so Karpas. Right, Karpas. So what's the Karpas is also one of the things which you don't really take too many sodas out of. What's the Yisod of Emunah we can learn from Karpas? Again, my
thought.
The children's ask. So that's part of the Yisod of Emunah. It's true. It is part of the Yisod of Emunah. But I want to take that a little bit weiter. So this is important from Emunah Sitecha. Rav Olson. Right, Rav Olson. So Rav Olson says like this. He says that, you know, so Karpas, like Levi said, it's bigger. Why do we do karpas? So the Gemara says, the Rashbam explains, it's supposed to be a kira latinokos. You know, we dip twice for no reason other than the kids should be curious, the kids should ask questions. We want the kids to be involved, ask the questions on the Seder so we can answer their questions. So we dip the karpas, they should ask the question. The Rashbam says, it's not the derech of Bnei Adam to be eating the yerek prior to the Suda. So let's say, why are you eating a vegetable before you wash? Doesn't make sense. You don't do this usually. So that's the question. So Muzi Techa says, so L'chora, the way you understand the Gemara is that the kid asks, why are you doing that? The answer is, that's a great question. You know why? Because tonight's a very special night. We took Hashem to Mitzrayim tonight. We didn't answer why we did the karpas, right? It's the QS. There's no answer to the question. Again, back to the Tanya. The Baal Tanya writes, he said, the Gemara says you should also give out klois v'goz in the kids. You're supposed to distribute nuts and like toasted grains. That was like the form of candy they had in Hem Chazal. So you're supposed to give out, like at the Seder, I give a candy at my Seder, you know, to my kids. So I used to give out the Seder. It's Gideous. Oh. But the,
the Seder will be tired.
Yeah. No, it's silly. Marshmallows, we get marshmallows usually. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says klois v'goz in. Which I just saw, I saw that Rav Matzio Solomon says that L'chora, even though the kids these days aren't so into nuts and toasted grains, since the Gemara says L'chora, we should do that too. Even if the kids don't like the nuts, let them trade it back for candy, he says. As he says. But the Gemara says, the klois v'goz in, the klois v'goz in. So he says, give the kid a nut. The kid says, I don't like nuts. Okay, so you switch it for a marshmallow.
It's the head back then. If they had marshmallows back then.
I understand. I'm telling you, Rav Matzio writes that as a gut. I don't know. But So the Maestro, so the Baal Tanya writes, he says that you give a class and it goes in, and so the kids will ask also, like, why are you handing us nuts tonight? Like, usually you don't hand out candy in the middle of the meal, like, why are you handing it out tonight? The answer, Rukhura, is because tonight's Leilat Mitzrayim, and I want to talk to you about the Seder. But he says that the Baal Tanya writes, well, we have no answer to the question. So even with no answer to the question, it's the way to get the kids to ask questions. So the so Rav Wolfson wants to say that you can learn from here a big Yisod and Emunah. What is that? So he actually tells a story of Chaim Sofer. I didn't plan that, but he just tells a story of Chaim Sofer. He says that Chaim Sofer once was at a Seder, and his grandson came to him, and he asked him like a really good kasha. And Chaim Sofer said, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer. A few days later, he goes to his grandson. He tells him, I have an answer to your kasha. And he says, I knew the answer also at the Seder too. But I didn't want to tell you then. Why? Because it's important you understand that we don't have all the answers to every single question. Emunah dictates that a person doesn't always have the answers, as he tells his grandson. So Rav Wolfson writes, he says that at the Seder, a kid asks, why are you dipping the vegetable into salt water? Right? And do we have an answer to that? The answer is that, so you can ask me the question, but there's no answer to the question. We don't know why we dip the vegetable into the salt water. So he says that, and same thing with the nuts. Is there a reason why you're giving out nuts? No, it's just I want you to ask me questions. There's no reason to give nuts. He says that the kid has to understand not every single question is going to end up with an answer. Because one of the biggest of the Emunah is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is far bigger than our brains can handle. And this world's far bigger than our brains can handle. And the Yesod of Emunah is just after the Seder. That the Seder we're going to discuss Yesodos of Emunah, Yesodos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkacha, Schar, Onesh, all these things. But sof, we don't have all the answers. And it's important for us to understand and for us to pass on to others that, you know, we have to be comfortable with the fact we can't answer every question. That's an important thing. The remez of Karpas, the famous remez everyone learns in school, is Karpas stands for Sanach Perech, right? You heard it before? You look at me like it's strange.
Well, it depends what Sanach Perech means.
Sanach Perech. That Sanach is the Shishim Rebo. Perech had to work on Lotus Parech, had to work as a slave. So Perech is hard work. So the Shishim Rebo, the Samech, Shishim Rebo had to do very hard work. So Rolfson says, why is, so based on this word, the Karpas.
How does Karpas come to Samech Perech?
The letters, Samech Perech, backwards, Samech Perech, right?
Okay.
But what's the word? He says that the Karpas stands for the fact that had to go through Avodas Perech, the terrible, terrible, difficult slavery. And that's the Kasha, which is often hard to understand. Why do we have to suffer, right? That's the Moshe Rabbeinu of the Kasha, you know, Tzadik V'Ra'lo. Right, but why do people suffer in this world? Moshe Rabbeinu says, why did you have to do bad to this nation? He asked Kosh Baruch Hu the Kasha. The Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't really answer him. So the Karpas has the Remez to it. The Karpas, which is the place where we say that we don't have all the answers, the Remez of Karpas is the Perech. We don't have the answer. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why did you do so much evil to this nation and make us work so hard, Kosh Baruch Hu? And we don't answer the question. We don't always know why Kosh Baruch Hu does the things he does. To add to this, so he says, this is an interesting part. He says, so the Seder ends with Chag Gadja, right? Chag Gadja. And actually, there's many, many mefarshim to point this out. But Chag Gadja, if you do the Cheshbin, it seems to turn out that Kosh Baruch Hu at the end is doing an injustice. I've been through this before. Because if you do the Cheshbin, the Gedi was innocent, right? So the Shunra was doing something wrong. So the Kelav was performing justice by buying the Shunra. Then the Stig was doing something wrong. And that means that the fire is doing something right. If you go through the cheshbon at the end, Machamavis was right, and Kosh Baruch Hu was wrong. That's the cheshbon, right? I'm saying, look, it's the cheshbon. You know, and you have many of the mafarshim actually point this out. It's interesting. There are answers given to it.
And maybe buying Gedi for Shteis Zuzim was wrong.
I guess that's possible, but
tricking the person.
But Wolfson says, just to get to our word. Well, Wolfson says that Chanami, you know, at the end we end the Seder with the Kasha. Right? Because, again, Emunah dictates that you don't have all the answers. And at the end of the Seder, we say, look, Kosh Baruch Hu did something which wasn't just. We say, yeah,
you can answer that to anything.
What do you mean?
Well, you don't have all the answers.
It's true. That's 100% right. You know, well, we do our best.
So next Kabar question, don't have
I mean, you're supposed to try your best to get an answer, but at a certain point you might say, I don't know. Right? But he says this, Rav Olson says the Seder ends with the Tekel, basically. I don't understand, you know, but that's good for the point. And the point is that you can go through every single Yesod of Emunah, and bottom line, we have to concede that we are limited human beings, and we don't have all the Yesodos. We don't understand all the answers. I know that's Nakasha as well, by the way, you know, the Nakuda of Chad Gadja. But the Asa Kosh Baruch Hu, then Chad Gadja, based on the Cheshbin. doesn't seem to be proper. I still have a cipher on that, but I'll save that for later. Fine. So, yachatz. Right. Let's skip some. Let's go to yachatz. Yachatz. So you break the matzah in half. So just pashakasha. They ask on yachatz. There's a din of lechem oni. You're supposed to have an oni. The Gemara says an oni takes a piece and saves another piece for later. Because he's poor, so he can't have all the matzah together. He'll take one piece and have it now, and he'll save his bread for later too, because he's poor. That's the pashup shot in breaking apart the piece of bread in the middle. However, the kasha is, why is it good for the mice of breaking? Just enter the Seder with 2.5 matzahs. Why is there like a step in the Seder of yachatz? You're supposed to go ahead and part of the Seder will break the matzah.
So the kid can ask.
So they don't say that one. Maybe, but they don't say that one. So there's a the Das Kain about Tosfos Nechomish. They say it's a remiss to Kris Yamsuf. Right? We're doing it's Zechar Kris Yamsuf, as they say. It's interesting. But just by the way, we mentioned before the Mashkonos of Goyim, so many Sfarim write, I saw it, it's actually Chum Sefer, but it's also a Brach in the Briska Rav, I believe, as well. A few people say it, there's supposed to be a Zechar to Rechush Gadol. They left Mitzrayim with Rechush Gadol of the Goyim, so we take out the Mashkonos of Goyim and our Seder as a Zechar to Rechush Gadol. That's the point I meant to mention before. But here, so you're breaking your matzah in half. And why did you go through the Maisa? What?
We just rob our neighbors every year.
They were shoyal. They didn't rob them. It's only after the fact they robbed them. We'll talk about that later, maybe. You know. But why did they break it in half? So it's about us to say it's a Zechar of the Kris Yamsuf. But there's the deeper Nakuda, which Svarim bring down. Again, I'll quote the Chasam Sefer for this one as well, because I was into that this year. But the Chasam Sefer writes that there is a Nakuda, the Seder has really two different sections to it. Because the first half of the Seder is all about, it's just Mitzrayim, the first Gula. But the end of the Seder, from Safon, Barich, Halil, and Nirtza, that start of the Seder is connected to the Gula Salavo, the final Gula of Klal Yisrael. We know that we eat the Hapikom in the part of the Seder called Safon. And that's a remnant of the Pasuk, Ma Rav Tuchash Safanta Recha, how much is the goodness which you have hidden away for those who fear you? Let's talk about the Schar Nolam Haba. Suffering. So you break this matzah in half to show that there's a half I have right now, and that's Golos Mitzrayim. But that half's not complete, because Golos Mitzrayim wasn't complete, because at this point we're still in Golos, and the world hasn't reached its final ticket. After we've gone through Golos Mitzrayim, and we've had our Suda, we now start looking forward to the final ticket, the final Gula, and that's when you eat the second half of that matzah, the Afikomen, inside Suffering, because that's the matzah of Rav Tzuvach, that's the two of the Schar Lom Haba. So the point of breaking is to show that the Golos Mitzrayim itself, part of it's portioned away, loss of level. That the Golos Mitzrayim was the beginning of Gula, it's the Shorosh of Gula. The Golos Mitzrayim is the paradigm of Gula. And we talk about day in and day out as the paradigm of Gula, 1 second. But that Gula is not something which is Sholem until we have the final Gula of level. And that piece, the larger piece, we hide away is not to come. The larger piece is the final Gula, which will bring the world to its ticket. Yeah. Which is also, that's a Shlemus to the first piece. It creates a Dever Sholem. Because that will bring the world to a Shlemus. It was first a Sholem, it's a broken piece. And that brings the world to a Shlemus. So he says Mitzrayim, we have to understand, this is another Yisrael you can pull away even from Yachatz. Mitzrayim is not just the one-time Geula we had, but it's Yisrael for all future Geulas of Klal Yisrael. The world is going to reach its Tikkun. The Seder is marking the fact that Baruch Hu was Geulas the first time. And by definition, I think it's Pashit, that because Baruch Hu is Geulas from Mitzrayim, and he makes us Amen Divchon, gives us a mission, and tells us we have to keep the Torah and bring the world to a Tikkun, the world will reach a Tikkun, because Kosh Baruch Hu is not going to then fail. And Kosh Baruch Hu's plan will come out to succeed. So therefore, one way or the other, we'll make it there. And the Gula of Mitzrayim, even though it wasn't complete at the time, is going to eventually reach its Shlemus, Los Lavo, with the final Gula. So end of the Seder, we have Tzafon, which is remiss to the Schar Tzafon L'Reyov, the Ma'am Rav Tivosh Tzafon L'Reyacha. The Hallel, we break Hallel in half also. The first part of Hallel said before the Suda, then a Magid. And the rest of Hallel, which is more connected to the level, is said at the end of the Seder. And then Nirtza is all about Lashon B'Rishalayim. Nirtza is as simply as Nirtza is, the Chasal Seder Pesach and Lashon B'Rishalayim. All the rest is just poems and putim and songs and stuff. But Nirtza is the Kosh Baruch Hu has accepted our Seder and we say Lashon B'Rishalayim. That's officially end of the Seder right there. Everything else is additions. So that's all about the Gula Sidlavo and the Tzapia we have for the final Yeshua. So we begin the story of the Shiva Mitzrayim already recognizing that the world is heading towards the final Tachlis. We're about to say Vadim Hayinu, but before we even say there, we say there's Refuko Namaka. There's a lot of Abdus and a lot of Inui throughout history, But we already hid away that yachatz, that piece of afikomen, for the asalavo. The zlischar will come, the tikkun will come, asalavo. And that's just the beginning of the Seder. So, it's getting late now, isn't it? We didn't get to Magad yet. So let's do one more point, and then we'll continue.
It's like the Seder.
Right? Yeah, right? I'm turning everyone into Peel Yeshua, so you can all have Mechil Sabonis. You know? That's it.
We're having a meal after.
Let's just introduce Magid for a minute, and we'll start, I guess, next time with parts of Magid. So, Magid is that's the ikar of the Haggadah. That is the Haggadah. That is the Magid. You're the Sefer Yisrayim is Magid. Magid is the kium of your mitzvah deraisa of Sefer Yisrayim. The different mafarshim break down Magid into a few parts, but I think simply we can look at Magid in this way. Magid is important to understand as the structure. There's an introduction to Magid. A lot of the beginning, the Halach Ma'anya, Ma'anishtana, the Ma'isim B'nei Brak, the Yochum Rosh Chodesh, all these things are just introductory material. It's introductions. That's not the Sipur itself. The Sipur really begins, we talk about the Maskel B'Gnos, that we used to be Avdei Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us L'Avodaso. We then go ahead, and Rami Avodah, we tell the story, this is Mitzrayim. And then we end with the Shevach and Adav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Dayenu, we have Halel, we have Lefichach, we have Asher Galanu. Those are all at the end there. So it's through, really, I mean, you could break it down in further parts, but you have really four sections. You have the introduction, you have the Mitchilah of the Vazar HaSeinu and the story, actually, maybe three sections even. And then you have at the end the Shevach and the Halel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just a note in terms of, I guess, the procedure of the Seder, people often get very caught up in the beginning sections and then race through the actual Sipur. And that's what's wrong, because our mitzvah is in the Sipur, and the beginning is only Hakdama. So it's very important. I'm actually going to tell you a lot about the Hakdama as well, if there's things to think about, it's Hashem. But in terms of the Seder itself, you're trying to balance time. The Ikar of the time should really be spent on the Sipur, Rami Ovid Avi, and onwards. We're actually going through the Maisa of Yisrayim, rather than on, you know, why were they singing B'nai Brak? Why was he there? Why did he go all the way till the morning? Why did Habibim come in? Like, these things, which are interesting to talk about, and we can bring out the kudos from them, but in terms of balancing time at the Seder, and not going too long, and going past Chatzos, and whatever you're trying to accomplish at your Seder, it's more important to focus on the Sipur rather than on these introductory parts. However, the Sedi Emunah are found in every single chiluk of the Haggadah, and therefore it's still kedai to at least be misbonin in what the Haggadah is bringing out from the other parts as well, in that these are all the pieces from Chazal. They're all part of the Seder Haggadah, and things for us to think about. Okay, so I think maybe we'll stop here for now. So maybe we can try again for Wednesday night. Wednesday night's good.